What's up and welcome into another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Matt, that's Big Dave. Up ahead on today's episode, three topics to get to. The Bulls' full 21-22 regular season calendar and schedule has been released. What are the good parts? What are the ugly parts? And what do we expect? Also, we got to dive into the ESPN NBA power rankings that came out on Monday. A lot of Bulls fans saying that the Bulls are getting a little bit disrespected where they ended up overall and in the Eastern Conference rankings. And then we'll wrap things up by looking at a couple of interesting podcast appearances that our new star wing, DeMar DeRozan, had over the last couple of days and some interesting thoughts he offered in those podcasts. That's all ahead on today's Locked On Bulls. Let's go.
You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here are your hosts, Matt Peck and Big Dave Watson.
What's up and welcome in. We are Locked On Bulls. I'm Matt. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls underscore Peck. You can follow my co-host Big Dave at Bowl, B-A-W-L Sports. And you can follow us at Locked On Bulls. Shoot us an email, lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And that text and voicemail line is always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, at 331-979-1369. We did a really fun hour-long voicemail episode that we just dropped on Monday. So if you haven't listened to that yet, go check it out. We had some fun there. Big Dave. What's going on, buddy? How are we today?
I am doing well. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling quite awesome. I am very excited to be here. All these people seem to really enjoy the show that we do. And then there's the people who don't enjoy the show that we do. And I enjoy them even more. So it's just so awesome to continue to be able to, you know, do this with you, Matt. It's fun. I love it.
I am very happy to be here. Okay. with that, first topic, the Bulls schedule is released for the upcoming season. We can get into a lot of different areas here, nationally televised games, et cetera, but the thing that I first looked at and thought, oh, that's interesting, Dave, is kind of like we had last season when we thought the Bulls might be good. Right out of the gate, the calendar looks pretty kind. It looks like there's an opportunity for the Bulls. When you look at their first five games, you've got Pistons, Pelicans, Pistons again, Raptors, Knicks, that's your first five.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Pistons twice and the Raptors as three games you absolutely should win, and then maybe you're talking about splitting between the Pelicans and the Knicks, like you're talking about a team that could start this season 4-1, getting out to a hot start.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Us starting at 4-1. And these are, I would say these are a little more tougher games than they were last year. Last year, those games that they could have really gotten off to a really good start. You know what I'm saying? With the teams that they played. But then we found out, you know, just how trash, you know what I'm saying, this team really was. But this year, now you can look at it and say, you know what, logically, basketball-wise, with the pieces that the Bulls have in place now, they can honestly really get off to a really solid start here. Because I tell you what, Matt, after that five games, man, it gets a little tough here, because I'm sitting there looking at it. I mean, you got Utah at home, then you go to Boston, then you go to Philly, then you play Philly again, then you got Brooklyn, then you got Dallas, then you got Golden State, then the Clippers, then the Lakers, then Portland, then Denver, and true, then you chill out, then you go back to New York and Indiana. But whoa, that is a tough schedule. So not only should they get off to a 4-1 start, they really might need to get off to that 4-1 start, Matt.
Yeah, I mean, so they round out October with that game against Utah, the number one seed from the West last season. And then what you just rattled off is the first half of November. It's why is it always November and the Bulls are just like, well, here you go, Bulls, have fun with this. It harkens back to the days of, you know, the classic circus road trip, when the circus would come to the United Center for a couple of weeks and the Bulls got to go on this, you know, daunting West Coast road trip. They aren't doing the circus anymore, but they still make the Bulls go on the circus trip. Just, you know, for whatever, maybe it's because the NBA as a whole has just made it like they're used to putting that into the overall league schedule. Send the Bulls on a very difficult road trip in November every single year. So that's why I'm looking at that first five and saying you got to get I mean, you at least have to come out of that first five 3-2, ideally 4-1, because we'll see what this Bulls team has and how much metal they have out of the gate, because there might be some growing pains to figure out how these pieces work together in the first couple months of this season. And as we saw last season with the arrival of Vooch, he arrived and they went on a very difficult West Coast road trip. They played okay and they lost a lot of close games, but you might have similar growing pains this season when you've only played six games and then you got to go on that ridiculous stretch of playing the best teams in the East and then going out West.
And also, and that's dead on. And also, Matt, just to add to that point, they finished up coming back by playing like the Brooklyn Nets. You know, like like it was still a tough schedule for them. Even though they ended up winning that game, it's but that's still a really tough schedule. But like you said, they look good, even though they lost. They got all those losses, but they look good. This is different. I don't want to just look good. I want victories here. I want some wins here with this team because they are set up to win and to win now. So it's no more waiting around, no more saying, hey, you know, let's wait till next year to see this development. No, we're trying to win right now. So I need to see some victories with that. What I also like about this schedule early on, Matt, is it gets two revenge games out of the way for two of our newest players in Lonzo Ball and DeMar DeRozan, because we play New Orleans at home and then we go to Toronto with DeMar DeRozan. And I mean, DeMar, you know, he's still, you know.
I like that you still count Toronto as a revenge game for DeMar. He's been in San Antonio for the last 2 years.
Because it still bothers him. You know what I'm saying? Like he still talks about it. He still talks about how watching him win that championship kind of bothered him because he wasn't there. He said that last year. You know, like, so it still kind of bothers him. And he's still beloved there. His jersey will be retired. You know what I mean? In Toronto, because he was their star. He was the man there for them right before Kawhi got there for that 1 year and they won that title. So I still think that it's going to be a revenge game for him because, remember, he hasn't been in the East since. You know, he was in San Antonio. He was in the West, seeing them twice a year. It's not going to be like that now. Now you get to see him a little bit more, you know what I'm saying, a little bit more of the schedule that he's probably used to. So I think that's going to be big for him. Lonzo playing, you know, New Orleans, the team he was with last year, I'm not going to say they gave up on him because they didn't, but they just had him playing a whole different style that he's, you know, off ball in the corner, you know, letting Zion create where he's the one that likes to be the one that's creating. So I'm sure he wants to show them that, yo, this team is letting me be me. Let me show you what me is. Let me show you who I am and how I do my thing. So, yeah, it should be interesting, those two games. So I'm glad we're getting two of those out of the way right out of the gate.
And then fast forwarding to the back end of the regular season, assuming the Bulls are in this playoff hunt and not just in the hunt, but maybe fighting for seeding come April, I thought that this was a really interesting stretch of games. So games 81 and 82 are home against Charlotte and at Minnesota. So, you know, maybe the Hornets are a team that the Bulls are fighting for seeding. Ideally not. Ideally the Bulls are ahead of the Hornets, but games 78, 79 and 80 are home against the Heat, home against the Bucks, and home against the Celtics. So those are three home games where you can say those are three teams that the Bulls are probably, like, you know, they're probably not going to be in Milwaukee's neighborhood, depending on how well that Miami, you know, Lowry and Jimmy Butler duo works. Maybe we're not even sniffing the Heat. But the Celtics, and we'll get to the ESPN power rankings in a minute, the Celtics are a team that I think a lot of Bulls fans are saying, hey, on paper, like, yeah, I know they got Tatum and they got Jaylen Brown. They didn't do a whole heck of a lot else this offseason. You know, they re-signed Marcus Smart. They re-signed a couple of their other role players. But the Celtics might be a team that the Bulls could theoretically leapfrog. So I thought it was interesting that you got Miami, Milwaukee, and Boston as three of your last five games of the season when seeding could be a big deal.
Yeah, I think out of all those teams in, that are going to be vying for playoff spots, Boston is the real wild card here. Because you know the talent that they have in Tatum and Brown. You know what they can do, but they're kind of in a transition. I mean, you got Brad Stevens moving to a position that he's never had before. You got a brand new coach coming in here. Like you said, you
first-time head coach in Ime Udoka.
Right, first-time head coach. Shout-out to him and shout-out to Nia Long. What's up, Nia Long? And so you got that new thing happening. And then, you know, you lose your point guard, you know, in Kemba Walker. You lose Daniel Tice. You gain a Jabari Parker. So you do those things and you know, they're kind of in limbo. You know what I mean? We don't know what they're going to be because the talent is evident in Tatum and Brown. It's evident. We know how good they are. Can they stay on the floor? Can they be healthy together?
How does Schroeder mix in, and what kind of looks does he get compared to Tatum and Brown? Yeah,
correct. And yeah, how's he going to be feeling about playing, you know, with that contract, the 1 year, $5 million contract? How's that going to mess with him mentally? So they have a lot of questions, man. They're the real wild card in all of this, Matt, because they could easily, if everything works out for them, be a six seed, or they can just not make the playoffs and maybe be in the play-in game or something. So yeah, that game, it just feels like that game is going to be important for both of those teams.
Yeah. Could be that Bulls Celtics game in particular. Maybe there could be some seeding on the line there in their third to last game of the season. Okay, we've got lots more to get to, including those power rankings that I just mentioned. Before we get to those power rankings, Dave, would you like to tell our listeners how they could keep themselves cool and sweat free? Because holy balls, it's about 90,000 degrees in Chicago today.
He's right. That's not an exaggeration. So when it hits 90 in Chicago, guys, the worst thing about it is it's humid. So you feel every bit of that in your soul and system. And if you're like Matt and I, oh man, that sweat sees that. And it's like, it's time to party. And it goes whoosh all over your body. But no more. We ain't dealing with that. You know why? Because it is right here, y'all. Y'all see it? It's the sweatiest of the block. It's the sweat block. Got my box of sweat block. I'm very excited. Let me show y'all something even cooler with that. This one came with it. Right there on the top of that, man. It was a card, man. It was a gift inside from the CEO of Sweatblock. His name is Chase. And he just wanted to say thank you for the order and threw you an extra little gift right there. Tossed you a little extra pad on the Sweatblock. This is what you got. And you know how I got this? I went right to that website. I went right to sweatblock.com. And you know what I did? I entered Locked On. And you know what they did? They gave me my 20% off like they said they would. Good. Yes, that's what it is. And it's beautiful. Doctor created, doctor recommended, works up to 7 days per use. Got the dry shirt guarantee. A sweat block doesn't keep you dry. You get your money back. Manufactured here in the USA. You know you're seeing it tested on the Rachel Ray Show by them sweaty firefighters. Ain't nobody more sweating firefighters outside of me and Matt. There ain't nobody sweating in them, man. So I'm just saying, I'm very excited to use that. Very excited to have it with me, man. Oh, I can't wait. Get your 20% off. Save you some money and save you some sweat and save you some of that embarrassment. Get you that sweat block and stay dry. Use the promo code Locked On.
Today's episode is also brought to you by our great friends at Bet Online. It's that time of year. All eyes are turning to the gridiron as football teams are back and ready for a fresh football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, both open now at betonline.ag. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's right, dollar for dollar sign up welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. Make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Cowboys of Dallas. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100 for that particular bet. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports. Maybe you want to bet the over-under for Justin Fields' rushing yards in their final preseason game. Maybe you want to bet about the number of picks Andy Dalton is going to throw in the Bears' season opener in a few weeks. Whatever you want to bet on, you can bet on it at BetOnline. From football, basketball, boxing, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And again, that's promo code Locked On at sign up.
Yeah.
Big Dave.
My friend.
ESPN on Monday released their NBA power rankings, which they released, you know, every handful of weeks. I think they do one every new week during the season itself. And then the off season, they do them less frequently. But this is the most recent power rankings since they did it after the Bucks won the title. So this new power rankings basically takes into account what happened in the draft, talent that was added that way, and what happened in free agency. Mm-hmm. Our Bulls came in at 19th in the NBA of 30 and 10th in the Eastern Conference. Now, just to give you, in case you actually just looked at it and said, ah, to hell with that. I hate ESPN. I don't want to read it. I want to whatever. These rankings were done by a pool of NBA ESPN writers and reporters that include Tim Bontemps, Nick Friedell, Andrew Lopez, Dave McMenamin, Kevin Pelton, and Royce Young. Those are the people who came up with these collective power rankings.
Okay.
So each one of those writers took a handful of teams and wrote a little blurb about that team underneath where they stood in these power rankings. Our old Bulls beat writer, Nick Friedell, who's now currently still with ESPN, but out in the Bay covering the Warriors, wrote the Bulls blurb. This is not the first time in recent weeks after the Bulls' big free agent swings that Nick Friedell has gone public in a big way, doubting the moves that the Bulls made. Shock. But I want to make this clear. It wasn't just Nick Friedell who made these power rankings, okay? He was one of a handful of NBA writers and reporters who collectively worked on these rankings. But it was hilarious that I just posted, you know, the link to this ESPN power rankings with a list of here are the top 10 in the East and the Bulls are 10th. Everybody was like, ah, well, Nick Friedell, like, of course, like he hates them. I want to say this first. I know Nick Friedell. He is the nicest guy ever. When I was first starting out in this business, he like sat down, had lunch with me, gave me some great advice, let me pick his brain. And he's also very good at what he does. That being said, I think the criticism from some Bulls fans is fair that he has not been on the Bulls beat for the last handful of years. And maybe he is stuck in a time when bashing the Bulls because it made sense to bash the Bulls is years ago now. He was right to bash the Bulls in some ways that other reporters wouldn't when Gar and John were doing things that made you scratch your head. But that's not where we are anymore. So I think that there is some fair criticism from Bulls fans who are saying, oh, like, why are they like, why should we even listen to Nick Friedell? But again, it's not just Nick Friedell. It is a panel of ESPN NBA people. That being said, now the floor is yours. What do you think about where the Bulls stacked up in these power rankings?
Well, with that being said, and everything you said is true. Yeah, Nick Friedell, he's got, you know, he got a little bias about the Bulls, which is totally understandable because of what he used to cover here. And I'm sure, honestly, he went through some things behind the scenes that we don't know about with the Bulls front office that he probably still kind of holds, you know what I'm saying, inside of himself. And his deep love for Thibs is always on full display.
Oh, all the time. Loves Thibs. Loves
all
him.
The time. All the time. All right. It is on full display. So, yes, he's a little biased. And I get that. But he needs to take a trip back home to the scene and see what's going on with the Chicago Bulls, man. I promise you, it ain't business as usual out here no more, bro. It's a whole different thing. As far as the ranking is concerned, I wanted to get upset, Matt. And then I kind of thought about it. I was like, well, the ranking is kind of like, well, we see the pieces you added, but we're not going to sit here and say you guys are going to just be great now. And just we kind of want to see it first. That's how I took it. Because as I saw on the rankings, even though they're, you know, we're 19th, I mean, last year, what, they were 23rd. So they took a huge leap, you know what I'm saying, to move up high in those rankings, which is something I haven't seen the Bulls do in quite a while, which I'm sure is out of the norm, you know, a team's moving up like that. So I felt good that they actually considered the Bulls, even with those moves and everything that they've done, put them in that kind of category to take that huge jump, that huge leap. Because moving up the four spots they did is a huge leap on any list that you do. I don't care what list you're doing. You move up four spots, that's a big old leap, okay? So them being cautious right there, I understand. You know, you're cautious with it. You're like, all right, that's good. We like it. Now let's see what it is. Now let's see if you guys can play together. Because all the people who are ranked, you know, in those top tiers have proven it, you know what I mean, over these years to get where they are. This is brand new for the Chicago Bulls. They got to go out there and they got to prove it, man. So we can sit here and speak about the joy that we have for these moves, Matt, which we do. Immense love, which we have for these moves, which we do. But at the end of the day, you got to go out there on that court, man, and it's got to, you know, translate to the floor. It's got to translate to wins. So that's how I took it, Matt. I took it as they need to see it first, and I'm down with showing and proving, man.
Yeah, I think by and large, I looked at this the same way you are looking at it. And you mentioned the four spot jump from 23rd to 19th. 23rd, that wasn't just from the end of last season. That was from after the Bucks won the title. So that is just between the draft and free agency, the Bulls moved up four spots. Basically, wow. In the last month and a half of offseason activity, they moved up four spots. And as you yourself were digging around these power rankings and found out, that was the biggest such jump of any of the 30 NBA teams. Yeah. The second highest jump came from the Miami Heat. And so, and they moved up three spots. And you could say it's a little bit harder to move up multiple spots when you're already closer to the top, as Miami was. On the previous power rankings, Miami came in at 11. They jump up three spots to crack the top 10 and are number eight here. And you might say it's easier to move significantly more spots when you're just kind of in the middle of the mix and like in a bunch of blah, mediocre teams, as the Bulls are here, going from 23 to 19. Mm-hmm. Big Dave, now let's shift to the teams ahead of the Bulls, because I think you're right. A lot of Bulls fans said, the Pacers, really? Like, they didn't really add any talent, but they did lose talent. The Hornets, really? Are we really that high on LaMelo and whatever else they got going on there? And then Knicks and Celtics at 7-6, yeah. The Hawks at 5. Bulls fans had some questions about those teams as well, but I definitely think Pacers and Hornets are the two that you're like, really? You can't even put us above the Pacers and the Hornets?
That's fair.
But guess what? Even though neither of them did anything special last year, you know what both of those teams managed to do? What's make the play-in. Boom. Makes the play-in tournament. You know what the Bulls couldn't manage Boom. To do? Make the play-in tournament. So as you said, this is another example of the league saying to the Bulls, yeah, you did some nice things in the offseason. And on paper, you might appear to have a more talented roster, certainly a more talented starting five than right, a couple of these right. teams that made the play-in last season that we ranked ahead of you.
Yeah.
But until you show us that you can win as a group, we're not going to just hand you stuff like this. It was the same as the whatever it was we were discussing last week when some NBA, the poll of NBA executives and scouts who said, don't like the Bulls offseason moves. Don't like it. They want to see the Bulls prove it first.
That's okay. I don't mind doing that. And the other thing that was noticeable to me, Matt, was in the top 10 of these rankings, five of those teams were in the East. It hasn't been like that for a while, guys. Like, you know, the West has been dominating for a long while. That signals to me a nice shift that's happening right here. Now that's an equal playing field, you know, five on one side, five on another. So I thought that was real good too, to see. So it's not just, you can't just say, oh, it's the East, you know what I'm saying, anymore.
Right.
No, you got to play, because those five teams they have, you're like, yep, those are your five teams that, you know, should be in the playoffs right there. Whereas in the past, you would say two or three teams, and then everybody else is going to be trash. You're fighting for anything else. No, that's a solid five right there. And then there's, you know, three more spots. We're talking about just getting into the eight, not the play-in game. I'm not talking about the two play-in games, of course. I'm talking about the eight. So just, you got the one through five, and then you got six, seven, and eight. Those are three spots left, man. And you got the Knicks. You got the Bulls here. You know, Charlotte, like you said, was in that play-in game. You got Indiana. You know, you got those kind of teams that are going to be vying for that. So it's going to be interesting. Like, it just means better competitive basketball on both sides. You know what I'm saying? On the Western and the Eastern Conference that we're going to get to witness. And now the Bulls have a team that can actually compete in this conference, not just fall into a playoff spot or play-in game, not just wish and hope, but a team that can actually compete. And that's what's exciting about this. So, yeah. I'm excited to go prove it, man. I'm excited to go watch them go prove it to these people.
Yeah, and on that note, I think the second most common quote, tweet, and or reply to me tweeting out this power ranking on Monday, behind the most popular comment and quote tweet of, to hell with Nick Friedell. Okay. The second most popular one was Bulls fans saying, this is great, because this is another chip on the shoulders of all these dudes who have chips on their shoulders. You can call it a chip on the shoulder. You can call it bulletin board material. You can call it whatever you want. Basically, it is another example of the league and the people who get paid to run the league and get paid to talk about the league.
Yeah.
We think y'all ain't shit.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't shit. cool. Oh, you added DeMar, you added Lonzo, you added Caruso. Yeah, you know, first full season with Vooch. Zach LaVine's coming off his first All-Star year. Y'all ain't shit.
Right.
So I hope that every single person that is coming to training camp for the Bulls in a couple of weeks takes note of this, takes note of the GM survey, takes note of all of these little slights to say, hey, we got something to prove. Let's go prove it. Mm. Let's make all these people look stupid.
I love that. That sounds so sexy coming from you, Matt. Yes, let's make all these people look dumb and stupid. Let's start this season and do what we know that this team can do. Honestly, this team is going to be a good, exciting team to watch. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it. It just makes me excited. Honestly, it just makes me excited. It doesn't make me angry. It just makes me excited. And I think Bulls fans being really that astute about that, noticing like, oh man, you know what? This puts a chip on your shoulder. See, that's what I like about that, Matt. That's a basketball mentality. See, the first one was more fan. You know what I'm saying? Like, Nick Friedel, we hate you. Go to hell. You know what I mean? Even though that rhymes, by the way. Go to hell, Nick Friedel. That rhymes. But the second one is honest, real basketball astuteness right there. And I appreciate stuff like that because they're like, oh, good. Bet. You know what? Put that on the bulletin board. You know what we're going to look at before we go bust this team's ass? We're going to look at this right here. And remember, this team was ranked ahead of us. Or remember, we were ranked right here and they act like this team is better than us. Let's go win by 30. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's the kind of good stuff because that, woo, just makes my toes shoot up, man. Just gets me excited. Okay. Wait, baby. I'm ready.
Speaking of things that make your toes shoot up and get you excited, Big Dave, do you feel that way when you're shopping for discount auto parts online?
You know what? When I'm shopping for discounted auto parts, Matt, as I commonly do, I'm not happy. No, I'm upset because, you know, sometimes I got to go in. You know, I got to talk to people. You know, they've been chewing tobacco, so they be spitting that everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be a lot of sad things happening in there, a lot of depression, a lot of sadness. It'd be hot. The air conditioning don't always be on. They're always trying to sell me stuff I really, truly don't need. Like, bro, I ain't come in here for that. You know what I mean? Like, I came in here just to get some brake pads. Like, why are you telling me you know about windshield wipers? I don't need that. All that now ceases. All that is done for. And why is it done for? You know why. Because of my people over at rockauto.com. Now, why choose to spend 30, 50, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? Why do it? Why don't you just chill back? Get out of this stank weather that's outside and just stay in the house. And then just go on your mobile device or your computer, go to rockauto.com and save you some money. It's a family-owned business serving those do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every single customer. Not just sweaty people like me, but for every single customer. Everything that you could need, I promise you, they have it in their inventory and their selection. So this is what you're going to do. And I know you're going to do it. So this is what you do. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts that are available for your car or your truck. Write in Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that my man Matt and this man right here, Big Dave, sent you amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Sing it with me. Rock Auto. Did you feel that? This house has been cleared.
What were we talking about? Oh, right. Okay. Oh, yeah. So in the last week or so, DeMar DeRozan, our newest fancy toy here in Bulls Nation, has made the rounds and done a couple of podcasts. He did a YouTube show called No Studioin', which I was not previously familiar with, but some guys that I think are like Compton, LA guys that are some buddies of DeMar's. And then also, a couple days after that, he went on Gilbert Arenas' YouTube show / podcast. Mm-hmm. And he had a lot of interesting things to say in both of these podcasts, Dave. I know where I want to go. What do you are thinking is the biggest takeaway from either of these interviews that DeMar did over the past week?
Oh, it was a couple of things. One, it's really honestly great to see him this open. I'm not used to seeing DeMar DeRozan this kind of open. You know what I'm saying? About himself, about his career, and things like that. Maybe because he's, you know, going into his 12th year. So, you know, you become a little bit more reflective, you know, on your career. Maybe it's because, you know, of the mental health issues he used to deal with. You can see that he's gotten help and is getting help for that. So maybe that's just another part of it where he doesn't have that depression anymore. And he's kind of letting people in a little bit more. Whatever it is, it was just really good to see. And I was really impressed just, man, how insightful this dude is. Like, he really kind of pulls you in, and he's very honest in what he was speaking and what he was saying. But, of course, my most favorite thing was the Bulls talk. Like, that was the best stuff to hear. And hearing how much of a basketball junkie he is, Matt, just makes me excited. He's like, no, dude, I watch everybody. I watch your first guy to your 15th guy. I know them all. And I think he's right. And I don't think it's a lie, because the way he broke down everybody pretty much on the team that they asked him about, when he broke down Lonzo, when he talked about, you know, his vision and how he doesn't feel like he's reached his full potential yet. He doesn't feel like it's been unlocked. I'm like, yeah, that's what I've been saying. Like, you're right. I've been saying that stuff. The things he said about Zach and Team USA and how like, he knows how that feels when you go over there and you come back and how different you are. That's what we sat here and talked about, Matt. We sat here and talked about that. And so the fact that he's recognizing these things makes it exciting. Talked about how Vooch was recruiting him. Talked about their relationship. So those things just got me excited, you know, to hear about him, man, because he let people in. And for a guy that isn't used to doing something like that, that's really, really cool to see, man. I'm glad that he was really more reflective and really nice about letting people in side of the brain of DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. He was very open in all of his responses and all of his thoughts, which is nice to see, because sometimes when players sit down and do those interviews, they can be very guarded and they have those cookie cutter answers that are just in a loop in their brain, and they feed them out. It doesn't matter who they're talking to, what the setting is. They just kind of answer everything the same way. When they deviate from that and are honest in the ways that DeMar was in both of these interviews, it really is fun and enlightening to watch as a basketball fan. I obviously, my biggest takeaway from either one. So, okay, I guess I got two. One, I love that in both of these podcast interviews, he talked about wanting to face challenges and doing things the difficult way. It kind of made me think a little bit about Giannis and his, you know, championship podium speech after game six about doing things the hard way in Milwaukee. Because even going back to his decision of which high school to play at, and I think it was in the No Studio in podcast, DeMar was talking about, yeah, I chose to go to Compton. There were a couple of other schools that I could have gone to. I think it was like Dominguez and Crossroads that were both programs that had a lot of guys that they sent to the NBA after, you know, a collegiate career. And DeMar could have gone and played at those programs that were better programs. And he was like, no, I want to go to Compton and turn Compton into a good program. So I loved hearing that, because it seems like he's kept that same mentality throughout. Made a similar decision to go to USC instead of going to UCLA, or instead of even going to North Carolina, that was also interested in having DeMar come play there. He's like, nah, dude, I'm going to go to USC. And then similarly, the way that he's brought that mentality to the NBA to say, yeah, Lonzo, he hasn't quite found it yet, but I want to help that dude win. I want to help Zach LaVine win. I want to help all these guys who have these chips on their shoulders, because everyone's saying they can't win yet. And I have maybe gotten to further levels that they have. You know, I'm a four-time All-Star. I've gone to the conference finals. I have maybe higher individual accolades, but I still have that big old chip on my shoulder too. So I like that idea of coming to Chicago, because we are all going to together face challenges, and I love facing challenges. That was the first thing that I loved about DeMar. And then second one, plain and simple, when he said, yeah, Vooch and Zach recruited me. Hallelujah! Isn't it so beautiful and simple?
Look, they wanted him.
And they wanted him, and they said, "Hey, come play with us." And he said, "Okay,
okay, yes, yes, Matt." I was saying that yesterday. I was on the Above the Rim podcast yesterday, talking about this, And I was saying, you don't understand. I'm not used to being chosen. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to a
chosen to browse and the spouse of the Dawson. Shout out John Taron.
Yes, sir. We're not used to this, Matt. We're not used to this at all. You're not used to somebody saying, hey, I want to come play with y'all. I like what y'all doing. I want to come play with y'all. I haven't felt that since Paul Gasol. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the last time I really felt that. Like a team, because he took a pay cut to actually come here. And he said, I came here because of Joakim Noah. It's like he said this. So that's the last time I kind of felt that. And that one was different because he wasn't even the salt. He was like, you know, the consolation prize, even though he was all NBA and a two-time All-Star. He was right. Here. He was
what awesome. They really wanted was Melo.
That's what who the prize was. The prize was Melo. We got the prize. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got the prize. The people everybody was trying to get. We got the prize. That guy. And him saying, I like Zach, and me and Vooz go way back. So that's that. And I want to come play with you at. Yeah, I just made all that rhyme, and I did that off the top of my mind. I'm still doing it. I can't help it, Matt. Oh! But, man, it's just really exciting to be chosen, man, for a team to say, you know what, yeah, I want to come play with y'all. And then to know what he can bring to the team. And him looking at the team and seeing the flaws of it, knowing who can do what, and saying, yeah, I know where we can improve, and we're going to go win. How about that? Like, yes. Yes, DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, let's go do that. Let's go get this win in. So, yeah, man, I was just excited, like you were, hearing that he was recruited by two players on our team. We talked about having a seat at the table I don't know how many times, how important it was for Zach to go to that All-Star game, how important it was for him to be a Team USA, how important it is to have two All-Stars on your team, and how good that looks to other free agents. We talked about that all offseason, and now you're seeing why we were talking about it so much, because he's saying exactly what we thought that this would do, and it's done it. It's done it. The All-Star he played with in college, the guy that he has been watching saying, this dude can hoop. He can play. I know what he's going to do when he comes back from Team USA. The point guard that he thinks has an incredible IQ and great vision. He's also been watching
since Lonzo was a kid.
Come on. And Lonzo called him a legend. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's what he called him. He called him a legend where he's from out there. So all that connection right there, it matters, guys. This stuff matters. And so it's just so good that it matters here. In this city, in Chicago, for the Chicago Bulls, because it hasn't been that way. And Matt's right. It just feels so good. It feels so good.
And look, I think you can't not bring up that, you know what this is different from? This is different from Derrick Rose saying, you know what? No, I'm going to rock with Keith Bogans.
Okay.
I mean, there is no secret behind the fact that the Bulls organization and the people who run it wished that Derek was a little more proactive in recruiting other stars to come play with him as he was ascending to a superstar himself. And of course, the big one that everybody always looks back to is the summer of 2010, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. Yeah. And the way it was reported, it's like, okay, yes, D Rose did eventually, like, I think shoot them a text or something, but it was not the aggressive recruiting that a lot of today's star players do.
Yeah.
And not necessarily to say that it was super aggressive what Vooch and or Zach LaVine did, but the way that DeMar told it to Gilbert Arenas on that show was, yeah, so it was after Vooch had been traded from Orlando to the Bulls, you know, towards the back end of the season, it's a Bulls-Spurs game. My old college teammate, my buddy, were shaking hands after the game and chatting. And Vooch says to me, hey, man, I know you got free agency coming up. Like, we got some interesting pieces going on right here. We got me. We got Zach. You know, this kid, P. Will, he could play. Like, keep us on your radar. That's what DeMar said that Vooch said to him. Keep us on your radar.
Yeah.
Because we also know that he was interested in going home, maybe going to the Clippers or whatever. And he had options. There were plenty of teams out there that were willing to pay DeMar DeRozan. He ends up here. Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Bulls had two players, all-star players who were willing to and did go out and recruit another star to play with them is something that the D-Rose, Joakim, Tibbs Bulls couldn't quite ever do. And I think that there are a lot of layers to that. And a lot of Bulls fans want to blame the front office for not being able to land free agents. And they are clearly part of the problem. But I think another big part of the problem was that Derrick Rose said, nah, dude, I'm rocking with Keith Bogans. I don't need those guys.
Yeah, I think Derrick, but see, for me, Matt, Derrick is a different beast and a different monster, because that's not, sometimes just not your mindset. Like, you saw when he left, Jimmy Butler was that guy. He was the recruiting guy. He had no problem going out trying to get guys to come play with him. You know what I mean? That was him. Joakim was kind of that guy also. Joakim didn't mind going out talking, you know, trying to get guys to recruit, come play with them. Some guys, that's just your personality, and that's just kind of who you are. That just ain't who Derrick Rose is. Like, it's just not him, you know? And when he was the man and he was the guy, it just wasn't who he was. He didn't rock like that. He was like, nah, man, we got enough here to win. That's that Allen Iverson, Michael Jordan kind of mentality. Like, right. No, we got enough to win right now. Like, yo, let's do this. I got this guy. I got Aaron McKee, Eric Snow. You know what I'm saying? Let's go win. You know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of mental. And also, I don't know if him not having that kind of mental, he would have been the player that he is. You know what I'm saying? So sure. It's just not who he is. You know what I mean? And that's why I really don't fault him for that kind of stuff, because it's just not who he was. Now, he did some things when Melo, you know what I'm saying, was trying to get recruited here. He had some conversations, you know what I'm saying, some things with Melo. Of course, it was that big thing that he didn't show up for the dinner that they talked about and all that stuff. But, you know, Melo did come to the gym, come see him work out and do those things like that. And you haven't seen Derrick Rose change that, you know, about himself, you know what I'm saying, at all. He's still that kind of person. So I don't really fault him for being who he is. But you're right, though. It is different now, because Zach LaVine, even in that video, I remember JaVale McGee talking when Zach LaVine said the stat about him losing, you know, those four straight games. Even then, at the end, when he talked about he got all those players, he said, JaVale, you know, we tried to get you too. Like, we came at you, we tried to get you too. But, you know, maybe next time, you know, that right there just shows you, right? Like, Zach was on that behind the scenes, kind of quiet, doing his thing. It's in his personality. You know what I mean? It's kind of who he is.
Right.
The Vooch thing, DeRozan also said, had been going on for like a year. So he was like, they talked about it when he was in Orlando. Right. You know, but he was like, but you know, circumstances, it was a pipe dream at that point in time, because he was not going to Orlando. He wasn't going to do that. So, yeah, you're right, though, Matt. But it's good to have guys that, you know, are out here doing the active recruiting. It's good to have a front office that has relationships with these players also. So that also kind of comes into play, because Mark
Eversley is the other really big piece that got DeRozan here.
Correct. He was the one, because he was the one that actually went out to L.A. and met with him and sat with him where everybody else tried to Zoom. No, he went out there and he sat with him, and they have a relationship previously. That stuff also matters, too. So it's just everything kind of worked together for this one. Then they liked the coach on top of that. So everything kind of worked together nicely to make this wonderful, beautiful stew that AK and Eversley have been cooking up, baby. I can't wait till it is served in October, Matt. Oh, yeah. We're going to feast.
And look, I mean, I don't know if this is how most Bulls fans feel about it. Maybe the Bulls fans are split. But going back to how we tried to do things and failed in 2010 versus this summer. And look, we didn't get LeBron in his prime. We didn't get Chris Bosh in his prime. But we did. I mean, you could say the prime Chris Bosh, prime DeMar DeRozan, not that different as far as, you know, what they can bring to a team. But it's not about that comparison. It's about how I felt as a Bulls fan in 2010 when we all watched the decision. LeBron's going to Miami. Bosh is going to Miami. Wade's staying in Miami. And we were a team that was in the hunt. Mm-hmm. And I immediately said, to hell with those guys. To hell with the Heat. D. Rose and my boys here in Chicago, I can't wait to beat them. Yeah. And I think a lot of Bulls fans felt that way.
Sure.
After we were, you know, the unchosen. We didn't get a rose, right? At the episode. It was like, you know what? To hell with them. I'm good. I don't need you. I don't need you, LeBron, Wade, and Bosh. Because I got D. Rose. This kid's hella good.
Right.
Joakim's awesome. Luol Deng's awesome. We got a squad. Right. And we're gonna come at you. And like, if you recall, the Bulls swept the Heat in the regular season in 10-11. And Bulls fans ate it up.
all ate of it
up. So much so that we get to the conference finals and who's there waiting for us? It's the Heat. Bulls fans wanted that matchup because we wanted to prove we don't need you super team, you know, bogus, like, you know, freak show all-stars. No, we're going to beat the Monstars. Derrick Rose is our Michael Jordan, and we've got all these Looney Tunes around him, but we're going to beat the Monstars, for crying out loud. But you know what? You know what didn't happen? We didn't beat the Monstars.
Did not.
You know why? Because the Monstars had more talent than that 2010-11 Bulls team.
They did.
Plain and simple. Plain and simple. I'm a little older. I'm a little wiser, just a little, than I was in 2010-11. That was 10 years ago now, by the way.
Yeah.
You know what I want my team to have? More talent. If the way that talent gets added to your roster these days in the NBA is good players recruiting other good players, then your team needs to be doing that. Mm. And that is the shift in how I thought about it now compared to how I thought it 10 years ago. Because 10 years ago, I said, we don't need them. No, you need them. Because, you know, you know who wins championships? Rosters with lots of talent on them.
Yeah, and I feel everybody wants to win kind of how Giannis did it, right? Everybody wants that kind of story of the guy who stays with the team, the feel good, you know, no, forget it. We're going to do it like this. You know, we're going to do it with these players. Let's not forget, he's got all-stars on his team. You know what I'm saying? Like, these guys are ball players. You know what I'm saying? Like, Chris Middleton is a beast. Jrue Holiday, probably the best on-ball defender in the league. You know what I'm saying? You saw how he was clamping down on those guys in there. So they have talent, you know what I mean, on that team. They have real skills. So desire and heart and all those things, yes, it matters. But at the end of the day, man, that talent is what it's going to be because, you know, pulling out C.J. Watson on somebody ain't going to do too much for you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, keep Bogans wide open in the corner ain't going to do too much for you. You know what I mean? You're going to need that talent to get out there. So, yeah, I hear you. I hear your point. I hear what you're saying. And it's nice that the Bulls have adapted to the modern way of what the NBA is now doing, you know, doing things to the point that they investigated us for tampering now. We're that deep in it now. You know what I'm saying? We're that deep in it now. So, yeah, I hear you. I hear your point. I definitely hear what you're saying. I just like that Derrick Rose was who he is and still is who he is. I like that mentality. I do. I like that mentality. But if somebody else, if he's not going to do it, it has to be somebody else on your team who's going to be that guy, you know, to go get those guys. And Joe King was that guy. And, you know, it just didn't work out like that. It didn't work out like that, man. And I still enjoyed that team, and I still enjoyed D Rose for sure.
And I think these Bulls coming into this season are kind of in perfect little middling zone where their players that, you know, their most talented players, they went out, they did some recruiting, and they got some good talent to come play with them.
Got some talent, bro.
But they have no arrows on their backs because everybody around the NBA looked at what they did and went, meh. So it's like,
that's true.
Yeah, you went out and you accomplished all these goals in the offseason to improve your roster, but everybody's like, it's not the Heatles. And it, funnily enough, you know, here we are with the Heat again. The other team that's being investigated, because everybody looked, oh, Kyle Lowry. You paired Kyle Lowry with Jimmy and Bam, and yeah, let's give Duncan Robinson $8 trillion. Oh, what an amazing offseason for the Heat. The Heatles 2.0, they got Kyle Lowry.
Right.
Let them have all of that attention.
Yeah.
Let them have all of that attention. Agreed. While Zach and Vooch and DeMar and the crew just rack up W's, man.
I'm with it.
Skating under the radar. Would love to see that happen.
Mm-hmm. I'm with it, man. I'm with it.
Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Thanks to our sponsors. Check out that sweat block that Dave was shoving in front of the camera earlier. It's a great line of products, especially right now in the dog days of August when Chicago is unbearably hot. Also, thanks to Bet Online. Go place your bets. Go place your bets, Bears fans.
Do it.
And of course, rockauto.com for all of your auto parts needs. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Bulls_Peck. He is at Bowl, BAWL Sports. We are at Locked On Bulls. 331-979-1369 is the hotline number to call or text. Until next time, Bulls Nation, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See red, be good.